Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening, this is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present The Double Miracle, starring Ralph Bellamy. Do you believe in miracles? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Either way, you won't forget this story tonight, for it's a story of a miracle that actually happened. We can't explain it. We're just going to tell it and let you judge. It's a haunting story of hatred and faith that took place on a South Carolina plantation. And here to play it is a star I know you'll all welcome, the distinguished actor, Ralph Bellamy. Welcome back to our Hallmark program, Ralph. It's been a long time.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Hallmark folks, Jay. But tonight, that pleasure's even greater, because our story is so unusual. And I understand the man who actually witnessed this story is listening in right now.
That's right. We received a special message from him, which we're going to share with everyone later in the program. And while we're on the subject of special messages, Ralph, do you remember how to be sure of finding greeting cards that have a special way of saying just what you want to say, the way you want to say it?
Unless I'm mistaken, Jay, you're referring to those three words on the back of the card.
Right. Those three words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, Ralph, let's take our listeners to the sandy pine lands of South Carolina, where in the hot afternoon stillness, a man is meeting justice. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition the amazing true story of a modern miracle, The Double Miracle, starring Ralph Bellamy.
Tyler Somerset, in the judgment of this court, you've been found guilty of manslaughter. It is my duty to sentence you to 5 years of hard labor in the state penitentiary.
I only know that it's so, that it actually happened to me a good many years ago. I was a young farmer then, living on a few starved acres of pine land along the coast, and my wife and I had a struggle to make them yield a crop. Times were hard, and I didn't want to spend any money on that old jalopy of ours, the one I used to go to market, but the brakes needed fixing. And when the accident happened, they called it criminal negligence on my part and sent me to the penitentiary. Yes, I killed a man in that jalopy. Two men, in fact. The drunken hobo who couldn't get out of the way, and the man behind the wheel. Me.
You have 5 minutes with your husband, Mrs. Somerset.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Tyler.
Hello, Claire.
Oh, well, aren't you glad to see me, Diane?
Should I be? Why do you keep coming here, Claire? You know I don't want to see anybody while I'm serving time.
Not even me?
Nobody. I'm somebody you've never seen before. Somebody that's hard and mean and sick inside.
You'll get better, dear. I know you will. It's just that you've been in here so long and thinking about what happened, letting it make you bitter. Well, you won't feel this way when you come out.
How do you know how I'll feel? How do you know anything about me?
I love you, Tyler. Don't you love me?
I don't love anything. Not anymore. I've got something clawing at me in here where my heart used to be.
But you can't be bitter against the whole world, dear.
Can't I? It's no use, Clara. You'd be better off without me.
I won't be without you. When you come out of here, I'll be right outside, waiting for
you. Don't be a fool, Clara. I've been in here for 4.5 years, paying my debt to society. And when I come out, society is going to pay its debt to me. I told you not to wait for me, Claire. I told you you'd be better off without me. Why didn't you go back to your folks?
Well, let's not talk about it now, darling. Let's just get on the train and go back home. The have more coffee, Tyler?
I want more coffee. I'll get it myself.
Darling, won't you let me do anything for you?
Like what?
Well, there are lots of things, Tyler. You've been home for almost 2 weeks now. All you've done is sit around the house, reading a paper, or just loafing. You never get out anymore, except to hunt.
What's wrong with that?
Well, don't you think you'd feel better if we started getting back to normal again? We ought to go out this morning in the fields and figure out what we're going to plant this
year.
We're
not going to have any crops, Claire.
Why not?
Because it's too much trouble. Too much work and too little pay. I'm through being a farmer.
Tyler, you've got to do something to make a living.
I'm doing something right now. Hunting.
But you can't live that way,
Why
Tyler.
Why not? I shot 2 wild turkeys last week and got $3 for them, a piece. I can get a whole lot more for a deer.
Deer on our land? Oh, there isn't enough game here to last the season.
Maybe there isn't here. But there's plenty in the woods out back.
But, darling, you have no right to hunt there. That's Jim Norwood's land.
What if it is? He isn't using it, is he?
Well, no, not for hunting. He bought that land so there wouldn't be any hunting. He told me so himself. Bought right up into the hills so the deer wouldn't be molested.
It's too bad about him.
But, Tyler, you can't poach on another man's property. You can't take what rightfully belongs to
him. Leave me alone, will you? Jim Norwood isn't any better than I am. And if he's got money to spend on land that isn't being used for anything, I've got a right to go in there and take what I want.
Norwood?
Yes? Come in, Haynes.
I'm sorry to bother you when you're going over your books, Mr. Norwood.
Oh, that's all right. What's on your mind, Haynes?
Well, now, I don't know exactly how to say this, but I was getting the seeds in down at the far end of the south field, and I heard some gunshots up in the hills.
Gunshots?
Yes, sir. Somebody's hunting on your grounds, Mr. Norwood.
You see who it was?
Couldn't help but see, sir. It was Tyler Somerset. And it didn't make a move to hide it, neither. When I walked up to him, he just looked at me and laughed.
Well, I've heard he's been acting pretty strange lately, ever since he got back. Guess 5 years in the penitentiary leaves a mark on the man.
I say it left a mark. He shot a deer, Mr. Norwood. A deer and 2 turkeys.
You're joking.
No, sir, I saw him, I tell you. And he's still out there looking for more.
Well, maybe I'd better speak to him. I'll get into the car and drive up there.
You better be careful, Mr. Norwood. You can't figure a man like that.
I'll be all right.
Well, don't you want to take a gun?
Gun? You know me better than that, Haynes. Never had one. Besides, you never really settle anything with a gun. Somerset!
Who's there?
Put your gun down. It's me, Jim Norwood.
Oh. Hello, Norwood.
Well, how are you, Somerset? What you doing? Practicing a little shooting?
Practicing? I'm hunting, Mr. Norwood. Got me a deer over there. 2 young turkeys.
Well, I don't suppose you saw any of the signs around here about hunting on this property.
Yeah, I saw them.
See, I'm trying to keep this land as a preserve for wildlife.
I know what you're trying to do, Mr. Norwood. That's why I came here. It's good hunting.
Well,
I figured you wouldn't mind my doing it, because you're always so anxious to help a fellow out.
I am anxious to help you out, Somerset.
Then you don't mind my hunting.
Now, look here. I haven't the faintest idea why you're sore at me, Somerset, but if I've given you any cause...
I'm going to keep on hunting, Mr. Norwood.
Look, I know that there's something burning you up inside. And as a friend, I'd like to help you any way that I can. Now, why don't you come and work for me this year till you get your bearings? Now, I know you're a good farmer. I'll pay you good wages.
I'm going to keep right on hunting, Mr. Norwood.
All right, Somerset. If it means that much to you, keep right on doing it.
It was his saintly attitude that bothered me more than anything else. It got my goat because it was decent to me. Made me boil to see him so patient and under control. I didn't care about hunting anymore, but I did care about making him mad, throwing him off balance, making him hate me. I teased him every way I could. Hunted every day, shot does and young bucks. But every time I saw him, he was always calm and forgiving. Then one day, I just couldn't stand it anymore.
Tyler, hold up a minute.
Claire, what are you doing out here? Have you been following me?
I had to follow you, Tyler. I want to know what you were up to. Why have you got that can of gasoline?
Mind your own business.
What are you going to do?
Get even with Jim Norwood. I'll fix him right this time.
Darling, please, what did he do to you? Why do you hate him so?
Because he's goading me on, digging at me with that sanctimonious smile of his, lording it all over me.
That's not so.
Don't tell me what's so. He's trying to drive me out of my mind.
Tyler, what are you going to do?
Set fire to this tract of land, this timber tract right in through here. That'll get a rise out of him.
No, you can't.
Get out of this. It'll burn like kindling when I spread some of this around.
Stop it, Tyler. Stop it.
Stay out of the way, Clara. I'm going to light her up.
I won't let you.
Shut up.
Please put it out, Tyler. You're not hurting Jim Norwood. You're hurting yourself.
Shut up, I said.
I won't. You've got to do something. And I've got to do something to make you come to your senses. I'm going to call the police.
Oh, no, you're not. You're going to stay right here and watch it burn.
Story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented to you by makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. If someone were to ask you if you'd ever read anything written by the Reverend C.L. Dodgson, you might be tempted to say no, unless you happen to remember that the Reverend Dodgson is better known as Lewis Carroll. And Lewis Carroll is, of course, the man who wrote Alice in Wonderland. Here was a man whose genius lay not only in his words, but in the way he worked. In his passion for perfection, Carroll even insisted on hiring the artist to illustrate the books he wrote. Then he would examine each drawing under a magnifying glass to be sure it was drawn exactly right. And he even supervised the publishing of his books as well. The writing, pictures, printing, binding, everything had to be perfect. So it isn't surprising that Lewis Carroll is the one who made this famous remark. He said, "Genius is the infinite capacity for taking pains." The makers of Hallmark cards understand this attitude perfectly. For they are not content to release a Hallmark greeting card for your use until it's the very best their skill and talent can provide. No detail is too small, too insignificant to be overlooked. You see, they're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards, greeting cards that are warm and friendly. Cards that must say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. And that's why those three identifying words on the back, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now our program continues with Act Two of The Double Miracle, starring Ralph Bellamy.
Mr. Norwood!
How are you, Haynes? How things been going?
I've got some bad news for you, sir.
Oh?
Lost a tract of timberland while you were gone. 3.5 acres. Burned right to the ground.
When was this?
Yesterday.
Pretty early for fire, isn't it, Haynes? I didn't know the woods would be that dry this time of year.
Woods were dry. Otherwise, we'd have lost more. That fire was started on purpose.
What are you driving at?
We found a gasoline can right near where it started. That gasoline was bought by Tyler Somerset.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, sir. I checked on it in the filling station.
I can't understand why Somerset would want to burn my land. Why, I've done everything I can to help that man.
That's just it, sir. You can't help a man like that. You've got to put the law on him.
No, I can't do that, Haynes. I can't send that man back to the penitentiary.
But you got to do something, sir. How much longer are you going to put up with him, Mr. Norwood? You going to let him ruin everything you got?
No, I can't do that either. I've got to find a way to deal with him, a way to reach him inside so that he can straighten himself out. Now, Somerset isn't really a bad man. I knew him before he was sent away. And there isn't anybody that you can't bring back.
Hello there.
Howdy, Mr. Norwood. What brings brings you out here so early in the morning?
Oh, just happened to be driving by, heard the shots, and thought I'd come over and speak to you.
What about? What have you got to say to me, Mr. Norwood? If it's about that fire...
Gosh, almighty, Somerset. Now, take it easy, will you? Every time I see you, you've got a chip on your shoulder.
Well, if it's about that fire, you don't have to beat around the bush asking a lot of questions. I started it.
That's what I thought. I just came up here to ask you why.
Don't know why. Felt like it, I guess.
You felt like ruining 3.5 acres of timberland? You know how long it took to grow those trees, Somerset?
Took about 20 years, I imagine. So anything else you want to know?
Yes.
Well, make it snappy. I'm having a bad day. I haven't shot a thing all morning.
Look, Somerset, I hate to be coming over here and talking to you about this all the time, but I'm stumped. Honest I am. I don't know what to do about you.
Why don't you have me arrested? You got a right to, you know. Have me arrested and sent back to jail.
Well, I was thinking about that, but somehow I know that it wouldn't work out. Not for me, anyway. I'd be going back to jail with you.
You're in a spot, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Why don't you get mad and have me arrested?
That's what you want me to do, isn't it?
I want you to burn up. Burn up and die. The way I did. Either that or leave me alone.
Somerset, why do you hate me? Why do you want to take it out on me for all the trouble that you've had? Now, I've never done anything to deserve this.
Neither have I. You think I deserve to have my whole life ruined by a drunken bum who couldn't even see where he was going? Suppose you'd been driving my car.
I know how you feel, but it's never too late to...
Don't tell me it's never too late. I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk. Sick of your sermons and your high-sounding words.
Look, Somerset, I...
Out of my way, I said. Stop trying to run my life. If you interfere with me again, I'll kill you.
I come to you as a last resort, Mrs. Somerset. No amount of pleading on my part will do any good. Now he's threatened to kill me.
He'll do it, too. Mr. Norwood, he'll do anything when he's this way. You've got to stay away from him.
Well, how can I? How can I let him go on like this? It's more than just his own life he's ruining. It's yours, too, and mine.
Well, it doesn't matter about me anymore. If he loved me, it might be different. But he doesn't. And he never will.
Then you won't mind if I press charges against him?
Of course I'll mind, Mr. Norwood. I've never given up on Tyler, but... Well, sometimes I think he'd be better off where he was. He'll only get into worse trouble if he stays here.
Well, I'm beginning to feel that same way, more or less. Still, I wish there was another way.
Haven't we done everything?
Well, I don't know. I've done everything but get down on my knees and pray. Maybe that's the solution. Maybe if I pleaded with God to give your husband a change of heart, he might help us.
Maybe.
I'm going to try that, Miss Somerset. Under the circumstances, it's the only thing left for me to do.
Yeah, home. The doggone rain's got me drenched.
Well, take off your coat, dear. I'll get you a dry shirt and some sip.
Don't bother, I'm going out again.
In this weather?
I won't be out that long. Just going over to see Mr. Norwood about a new project of mine.
Project?
That's right. I'm building a still over on his property, and I thought he might like to know about it. It'll burn him up good.
Darling, if you don't leave that man alone, he's going to have you arrested.
Good.
He means it this time. He was over here this afternoon, pleading with me to make you change.
What right has he got to come over here and talk to you about me?
He's got every right in the world.
Not the way I see it. I told him once before to mind his own business. I warned him if he interfered again, I'd kill him.
Tyler, will you please come to your senses?
Leave me alone. Said I'd kill him and I will. I said I'd kill him. And I will.
Tyler, what's the matter, dear?
Nothing. Nothing, I guess.
Oh, you look as pale as a ghost.
Well, I had a funny feeling. Kind of like... Well, I don't know what it was like.
Gosh almighty, I'm shaking like a leaf.
Do you want me to go for a doctor?
No, I'm all right. It just seemed as if everything was unreal for a minute there. The room, the house, everything. It's the weirdest sensation I ever had.
What was it like?
I don't know, really. I can't describe it. But I had a feeling we weren't alone anymore. It was just as if someone had walked into the room. Someone from another world. Like death. Only it wasn't death. It was just the opposite. Much better, darling. Last night I slept like I've never slept before, not in 5 years.
I know it. I watched you all night long. You hardly moved a muscle.
Funny, isn't it? Going into a deep sleep like that and waking up in the morning like a bright, clear day.
More coffee, dear?
Yeah, thanks. It's awfully good today. The whole breakfast was good.
I'm glad you liked it.
Hey, what are you crying for?
I'm not crying, darling. I'm just so happy about the breakfast. It's the first time you've liked it since you've been back.
Well, it's good.
Here, have some more coffee.
Thanks. You know, that rain yesterday did the ground a lot of good, Claire.
Did it soak in?
Pretty much. I was out looking at it just before breakfast, and the topsoil is a lot richer now than it was before I went away.
It's had a good rest?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking I might get out today and run a plow through it, too, just to see what it was like.
Why don't you, darling?
Well, I might at that. Maybe I'll feel a lot better if we get out in the fields again. Come here, Claire.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just thought I'd put my arm around you.
One more row, Todd. Just one more row and we'll have this whole end of the field planted by sundown.
Certainly looks like it. We put in a good day's work.
Oh, I'll say we did. How do you feel, darling?
Good, Claire. All over.
Hi there, Somerset. What you doing? Getting the corn in?
Yeah. Claire and I decided to put corn in this year and beans next.
Fine. Bet you have a good crop, too.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be finished here in a few minutes, Mr. Dorwood. Won't you stop in and have a cup of coffee with us when we're through?
Yeah, you'll stop in, won't you, Mr. Norwood?
Well, I guess maybe I will. It's all right with you.
Why, sure. I've been meaning to tell you something, Mr. Norwood.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an awful lot of trouble to you, and I want you to know that I'm sorry for everything that I've done and said to you.
Oh, that's all right, Somerset.
No, it isn't all right. It's as bad as it can be, but I'm going to make it up to you. And I will, somehow.
Sure you will. I'm just tickled to death it worked out this way. I never realized how much power there is in a simple prayer.
Prayer?
You prayed for him, Mr. Norwood?
Right down on my knees.
That's the strangest thing I ever heard.
Why, Tyler?
Because I felt those prayers. Felt them in my heart and soul. The Lord came to me last night and told me to change my ways. For your sake and for Claire's.
He came to you?
He came to me and talked to me all night long. And it wasn't a dream because I was wide awake all the time and I couldn't move or open my eyes.
Tyler, you told me you were asleep.
I just said that because I knew I couldn't explain it. I couldn't believe what had happened. And I don't suppose that anybody else could believe it either. I only know that it's so.
Gentlemen, Mr. Bellamy will return in just a moment. Meanwhile, a question. Would you like to give some little friend of yours a real thrill? Make some childish heart happy with a greeting straight from the land of make-believe? Well, here's an easy way to do it. Simply stop in at one of the fine stores that carry Hallmark cards and ask to see the Hallmark dolls. They're cute and colorful greeting cards that are really dolls at the same time. You'll find Little Bo Peep, Peter Piper, Bobby Shafto, Little Miss Muffet, and many others from Fairyland. Each one stands up like a real doll. Each one has its own story inside. And the beauty of it is that you can delight some child by sending one of these cute Hallmark dolls for only 25 cents. So why not send one real soon? See the Hallmark dolls tomorrow at your friendly Hallmark dealers. Now, once again, here is Ralph Bellamy. Thanks, Ralph, for a great dramatic portrait.
I enjoyed playing it, Jay. I can't get over that a thing like that could happen.
Well, that's understandable, but let me read you part of the letter we received from the man who actually saw it happen. Mr. Archibald Rutledge, plantation owner and naturalist in South Carolina, writes us, "This story was the most incredible thing I ever witnessed. I only know that it's so. I personally knew these men before it happened. I knew them afterwards when they became close friends. I'm glad to know it will be told on the Hallmark radio program, as it's a story for all men to hear and to renew their faith. Believe me, all of us in this plantation country will be listening to you. Sincerely, Archibald Rutledge."
That's quite a letter, Jay. I'm glad the chance came to me to play the part. Now, tell me, who's the lucky man next week?
Oh, our star next week happens to be 5'2" of femininity, with one of the loveliest faces and finest young talents in Hollywood. Anne Blythe.
Say, that's great.
Oh, we think so, and we're starring her in a delightful story of a small-town girl in a big city. Next Thursday, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the amazing story entitled We Shook the Family Tree, starring Anne Blythe. In tonight's story, Ralph Bellamy was supported by Carl Swenson in the role of Norwood and Muriel Kirkland as Mrs. Somerset. The Double Miracle was dramatized by Robert Sloan and is based on the true story entitled I Only Know That It's So by Archibald Rutledge as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Before we leave the air tonight, we'd like to remind you that the American school system vitally needs your support. The situation is grave because there are more children and fewer teachers. Also, school facilities are pitifully inadequate. All who are qualified are urged to enter the teaching profession. All others are urged to help our teachers mold our nation's future by actively supporting the schools. Now, this is Jay Jackson saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time, when our story will be We Shook the Family Tree, starring Anne Blythe. Other stars soon to appear on your Hallmark program include Raymond Massey, Burgess Meredith, and Luana Patton.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is KNBC, Kansas City, Missouri. Earl Smith and the news after this announcement.